The Old Testament reading for today is found in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. It's found on page 698 in the Church Bibles. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Here ends the Old Testament reading. And the epistle is found today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, found on page 1139 in the Church Bibles. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." The gospel for today is found in Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, found on page 1010 in the Church Bibles. And out of respect for the gospel, please rise. 1010. Mark 16, starting with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Here.
you have God's mercy and you have God's grace and you have God's peace, because this one fact stands as being undeniably true. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We're going to look at the gospel lesson for this morning from Mark chapter 16. Just put verse 1 in front of you again. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, may these words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our rock, our risen Redeemer and Savior. Amen. Well, let's just say that they were not thinking of the coming morning in terms of it being a celebration of life as they went out to buy spices. I doubt that that thought, that word, celebration, even entered their mind. I mean, how could it? Someone that they had known for 3 years, someone who during that 3-year time they had grown to fall deeply in a respectful and reverent love for, someone whom they had seen do amazing things, someone who they believed to be the long promised Messiah, had been put to death. And they weren't going out to his grave that morning to have a celebration of life. They were going out there to cover over the smell of death. So no, there wasn't any talk of celebration, either the night before as they went out and bought the spices, or as they got up early the next morning and began the walk to the tomb. In fact, I doubt that very few words were exchanged that morning until simultaneously these three women come to ask the same question. Who will roll away the stone for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe on the right side, and they were alarmed. A celebration of life didn't happen in that instant. It would take a while. But what that young man said to them, the news he gave them, that changed their perspective of what that morning was all about and why they had gone there. Eventually, there would be a celebration of life. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you, and then they would have a celebration of life. And so will we. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so now, any and every funeral of a loved one of ours who has died in the Lord is a celebration of life. Yes, to a degree, a celebration of the life of the deceased. But even more so, it is a celebration of the life that Jesus took back from death when he rose again on the third day. It is his life after death that takes the sting out of death and takes away the victory of death. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. She was just a young girl. all of 12. But sickness and death show in her life that they are no respecter of a person's age or of a person. And so she died. And there was no celebration of life that moment. Mark tells us that as Jesus approached this home where this little girl had died, that Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Hardly sounds like a celebration, does it? And then when Jesus asked them what they were doing, and then he responded by saying to them, "The child is not dead, but only asleep." Mark tells us that the reaction of the crowd, even though they were not celebrating at the moment, the reaction of the crowd was to laugh at Jesus. After he put them all out, Jesus took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little lamb, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders to them not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. In and through Jesus, that family was given what truly was a celebration of life. Weren't they? He was a little bit older. Some have put his age to be, about 20 or so. He too had died. And as his body was being carried out, there was no celebration of life going on whatsoever. Just a lot of weeping and crying, especially on the part of this young boy's mother, who was also a widow. When Jesus saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. In and through Jesus, that family was given a real celebration of life, weren't they? Now, I'm not sure how old he was. I'm going to assume that he was at least middle age, let's say 50 or so, okay? And regardless of what his age was, he died, leaving behind two sisters, Mary, Martha, and a friend named Jesus. And when Jesus finally arrived 4 days after his death, there was no celebration of life going on. There was just a lot of mourning. Jesus meets first with Martha. And during the conversation Jesus has with Martha, he did talk of a future celebration of life. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then Mary comes out to Jesus. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. And when Jesus was brought to the tomb of Lazarus, John in his gospel simply notes this, the shortest verse in all of God's word, Jesus wept. You know this story well enough to know where this story is headed, don't you? to another celebration of life. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Sometime later, about a week later, there was a dinner given in honor of Jesus and Lazarus, and this was about a week before Jesus would die. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, rightly so, for in and through Jesus, that family had been given a celebration of life, hadn't they? One more story. You're familiar with this one too. It's the story of the prodigal son. And you may ask, well, what does that story have to do with what I've been talking about? Families and a celebration of life. Well, listen, and I think you'll see. Let's pick it up with the prodigal having returned home and the moment after he has confessed his sin to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And now in the risen Christ, you and I have a forgiven life to celebrate. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And because he lives, you have a life of the forgiveness of all of your sins to celebrate. Paul tells us in Romans, Jesus was raised again for our justification, raised again so that we could be declared to be right with God and forgiven by God. And Jesus himself puts it this way in Luke chapter 24. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And hallelujah. And so we are forgiven. And because he lives, you have this grand celebration of life to look forward to with all of your loved ones who have died believing in Jesus as their Savior. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. That will truly be a celebration of life, won't it? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.